where my direction has been, which you don't know at this point, but where I began to enter the animation industry was in the area of background design or world design. So, you know, animators either, I'm not an animator per se. An animator is someone who actually animates or moves the picture, right? The character.
Okay.
What I do and what I've done ever since I entered the business is something that I knew fit. And so I could have been an animator, but that's not where I wanted to go. I wanted to be into world design. I love the idea of creating new worlds. And so on every project I've ever worked on, it's primarily, you know, I am, that's what I'm known for. You know, I'm a world designer. And so...
That would be a cool thing to have on your business card.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll do that.
You know, I remember. I'm a world designer. I remember one of the early DVD sort of games. Do you remember Myst?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that really got a lot of attention because it created this very graphically rich world, and then the game sort of evolved through that. Is this the kind of thing sort of you're talking about?
I do. Yeah, that's exactly what I do. And to be kind of clear, because, again, it's very vague. If you're not in the industry, you really don't know this. But, you know, on any given project, you've got a script, and either script's in development or it's nailed down already. But early on that script, early on the project, there's a pre-production phase and a production phase. Well, the pre-production phase, there are a small group of artists that have to envision what that movie is going to look like, because it's just words on a page. It's a script. No one has an idea of what it ultimately will look like. Well, before you go into production, obviously those things have to be nailed down and very tightly. Otherwise, the production is going to be in absolute chaos. So on those number of months before green lighting into production, there are people that have to create what the look of all the characters. What does their costumes look like? You know, who are they? Well, I mean, based on the script, you know, design characters. I mean, we just go through hundreds and hundreds of drawings, and ultimately, you know, so the designer has to be connected, has to be very clear on the script, but they also have to be very clear on capturing the vision of the director.
That was my next question. You have to obviously work pretty closely with the director.
Definitely, okay. Yeah. So, again, it's with, you know, if the director is very clear on their vision in terms of what they feel they want, I mean, they can't necessarily always see it, but if they can communicate where they're wanting to go, then you capture that vision and you explore those possibilities. That doesn't mean that, you know, your first drawing is going to nail it. Rarely does that happen. So, but again, if you have a director that's unclear about their vision, and it's chaotic and it's a nightmare. So throughout the entire project, frankly. So the clearer the director is, the better for everyone. And so, you know, for me, My job is to go in, either on, you know, in any particular movie, there are various locations that have to be designed. And so, for instance, let's take one of my projects, Disney's Treasure Planet. Well, that was a twist on Treasure Island. Had to have much of the flavor and feeling of the original 1700s, being in England, Jim Hawkins ventures out, you know, goes to Treasure Island, but in our case, he goes to Treasure Planet. It's about happening in space, in another world. But what does that look like? Well, we had to...
Since you've never been to either of those places.
Well, I've been to England, but I haven't been beyond, outside of our atmosphere. So, but of course, others have. Now, when I say that, you know, George Lucas has, right? Star Wars. But, you know, when we stop and think of, well, so the idea here was that we wanted to get a strong feeling of what Robert Louis Stevenson would have felt if he would have written a story about his future, the point of view from his point of view, what future would have meant. So it couldn't be a George Lucas and his future. That ends up looking like Star Wars. We didn't want this to look like Star Wars. We wanted it to look like, well, we didn't know. We wanted it to look like something that came out of the mind of Robert Louis Stevenson.
But almost
not in
a
his
retro
time, but for his future.
Kind of a retro future.
Exactly. So, well, so the idea was we set some parameters about what we wanted to do. So, I mean, again, it was very intelligent to do this, not from my point of view necessarily, but working with the art director. We decided to 80% of the design would be what English architecture looked like, small community, what London might look like, what Europe in general would look like. So what would that look like at the time? Well, we had a lot of reference on that. So we worked from that reference. Now, we still had to draw. We don't copy anything. We just refer to and then create from that. But then the creative element here was, okay, it's 80% traditional, but then what is that futuristic? How do you apply the future onto the traditional 1700s architecture, English architecture? So that was the creative aspect. So if you see the movie, you'll see that, oh, this looks familiar. However, it's not familiar. You know, something. This is very interesting. It's very unique. And so I was on that particular project. I had to design Jim Hawkins' original home planet. Well, we know that from the book, it was a small community in England at some distance from London. He'd never been to London. He'd been a small-town kid, just like I was from Kennett. You know, he wanted to get out because basically his small community was an industrial community. Day and night, you know, he'd hear the hammers. He could hear, the smoke and the billowing of the smoke and the fires going day and night. He wanted to get out. Well, he eventually, he goes to London for the first time in the world. He sees the port of London. It was like fantasy for him. And then, of course, they took a ship and went to Treasure Island. But for us, okay, I had to create Jim Hawkins' home community. Well, what does that look like? It had to be a small planet. But then my other, which is even more challenging, my other assignment was I had to create spaceport, which meant London and the port of London. I had to create a spaceport. Well, that meant in our movie, he leaves his planet. He's financed, if you remember the story, he's financed, and they leave and they head for the spaceport where they will get a ship to go to Treasure Planet. Well, what does this spaceport look like? I mean, that was one of the biggest challenges of our project, and it was given to me. I mean, it was one of the most challenging projects I'd ever worked on. It stretched me more than anything I've ever done in my career. But so what does this look like? Well, I did, hundreds of ideas and drawings and whatever. And then suddenly, which wasn't my idea, someone in a meeting said, what about a crescent moon? And immediately you knew that was the answer. A crescent moon. I mean, I had all these different kinds of designs on what a spaceport would look like, but we thought, wow, that's beautiful. Well, again, they weren't doing this, but it was their idea. So I took that crescent and I began to envision what a spaceport or interplanetary place where, ships and visitors from every galaxy, in the universe would come in and do business and leave. It's got to be a very, very busy place. Matter of fact, Steve, I'll send you some images if you want.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Numerous projects, but I think since we're talking about this, I'll send you some images on what that looks like.
Well, you got to know, too, that I'm going to race out and Netflix or get Treasure Planet because, I've never been a big fan of animated movies particularly, but I can see now that there's much to appreciate that just a casual viewing doesn't necessarily capture.
Right. Well, again, you know, many, obviously most people will hear of Lion King. Well, how many people have heard of Treasure Planet? Well, Treasure Planet cost more than any movie they'd ever made.
Wow.
But, Steve, the dilemma was when it was being released, Disney, for one reason or another, did not back it. I mean, they, you know that when they back anything, it's going to sell. When they promote anything, it's going to sell. To this very day, we have no idea what happened. They decided to pull the plug on promoting it. It went out, but for some unknown reason, by the time it went out, I mean, I was working on it in the late 80s. By the time it was in production and through production, it was 2002 when it was released. But I know at the time that Michael Eisner was having some serious issues in the company. There was a lot of internal conflict. One reason or another, that project was not promoted, and that's tragic. It could have cost them more to make it because it was a blending of 3D between traditional and 3D animation, and it was very costly.
But I see that you've worked on a couple of projects that that got lots of.
Oh yeah, they did. You know, like Emperor's New Groove, they promoted that. I worked on
Lilo and Stitch.
Lilo and Stitch.
Lilo, is that how it's
pronounced? Yeah, Lilo and Stitch. They, you know, they promoted that.
And then the big.
Why they wouldn't promote this? There was something. Everyone would just had no words, and you couldn't dig for the information. I mean, obviously there's an answer, and someone may know it, but it was never released. Why? They didn't allow that to be a success. Didn't promote it.
Well, can you talk a little bit about Shrek?
Yeah, Shrek. Shrek was with DreamWorks, and I was why I was able to work independently. But I wasn't when I was at Disney. Yeah, I went into Disney feature animation. I had worked at Disney for 12 years. But in the early end of Disney, I had worked at the Disney Television Animation. It was a new division. Worked, you know, helped design Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, Tailspin, Goof Troop. I mean, all these that you may not be familiar with, but, you know, the kids of the 80s and 90s would have been very familiar with it. And then moved into feature animation and with Disney. But
yeah, the last one I remember was Steamboat Willie.
Yeah. Okay, well, you go way back, Steve. what am I wanting to say here? Well, basically, when I left Disney after television animation, and again, I'll get to Shrek, but the what I want to say is that I left Disney. At the end of my working with television animation, we ended up doing a feature film with TV, and it was the Goofy Movie. And it was a real pleasure because they sent me over to Europe to Paris, France, to work on that project. And I was heading up what's called the layout team. That's designing or staging every shot, you know, with the characters and the background designs. And so we lived there for a year, and it was just a wonderful opportunity. And we really grieved having to come back. But when I came back, I decided actually Warner Brothers was developing their first feature animation division. And they were beginning to woo a lot of people from the studios to them. And they were paying really good money and all that. Well, I decided to do that. And so I went to Warner Brothers, and when they greenlighted finally greenlighted a project, it was Quest for Camelot. And I ended up being a co-art director with another a very close friend of mine. We both art directed that project. Well, during that project, it was so stressful. I wish I had never entered that in the first place, but it was very stressful. And one day, and I just had to be there day and night. It was just, you know, I was not seeing my son. My son was like 5 years old, and I just was not giving my son any time. And I remember one morning pulling out to get to work for a 9 o'clock sharp meeting, And he ran, I was walking out the door, he ran and grabbed my leg and held on really tight. And he was crying. He said, "Daddy, please stay home. Daddy, Daddy, please stay home." And literally, Beverly, my wife, had to peel him off my leg. And I pulled out, and all the way to work, I was praying, "Dear God, somehow bring closure to this project for my life." You know,
yeah.
My son is losing something. I have to figure out what that is. All I know is that this was an unusual moment for him. Something's missing for him. I am never there for him. What's more important, this project or my son? Lord God, bring closure to this. Steve, 2 weeks after that, I was called in the production and the producer's office, and they said, "Michael, Warner Brothers has decided to knock out this film." Well, what that meant was they were just into a quarter of the way into the production. Okay, we went through all the pre-production, which took many, many months. Now they're a quarter of the way into production. They got a lot of time forward. Well, being the art director, what that meant was that, "Michael, we're going to take you off the project, both you and the other co-art director." And I understood why. My job is to maintain artistic integrity through the production. Well, they said that they're going to knock this film out. At this point, we've spent too much money. We're just getting it done.
Got it. I've had some high school
have you there.
High school term papers like that.
So you can't have you there encumbering our effort to just get it done, Michael. There's no reason to have you on. I said, thank God. They said, "Michael, we're paying you out of your contract." They basically paid me for everything.
Cool.
Yeah, what a blessing.
Yeah.
And I was able to then say, okay, I'm not going to Disney. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be an independent contractor at this point. I'm going to, build out my studio at home. I'm going to be with my son. And that was, I really needed to be there for him. So it was at that time that as an independent contractor, designer, visual development designer, Shrek was just needing designers. And I said, "I'll work with you." So that was a project I worked with. And now if you read Shrek, the credits of Shrek, my name is missing. And that really hurt me. I mean, frustrated me. This business is so crazy. What had happened on Shrek? Shrek went through 4, maybe 5 directors. It was chaotic. DreamWorks ended up moving it from L.A. up to near San Francisco to a studio. It had just it changed all the every dynamic director changed. It changed, and I worked on it on the very earliest end. Well. For some reason, my name fell out of the cracks. Okay, for the credits. Again, it was disappointing, but the reason why that happened, there's a policy, and I don't know why they didn't do this. There's a policy of arriving at names for credits. You go to accounting. Whoever you pay on that project, there's a name. You see, if you want to find who worked on a project, you go to accounting. They know exactly who they paid along the course of that project. That's where you arrive at the names. Some production assistant was given the opportunity, given the responsibility to create the script the credit list, and they didn't do that, obviously. So, if they had done that, my name would have been early on that project. But regardless.
Don't you wish that you had made one of the minor characters look just like you? So, hiding your credits right there.
Permanently, I'm embedded there one way or the other. A little secret message.
So you
But I did work on Shrek, and it was a wonderful opportunity to do that.
How'd you get back to Chicago?
It was the first Shrek. What was that?
How'd you get back to Chicago?
Well, it was... at the end of, before going on to Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, back up. Go ahead.
Well, as an independent contractor, at the time, I was working with Shrek, but I was also working with Emperor's New Groove. But at the time when I was working on it, there was another director, and it was getting too serious. It was kind of menacing. It was too dark, and it was called Kingdom of the Sun, and it was changed to Emperor's New Groove.
That's quite a change.
Yeah, when they just needed to change the personality of the film, and so it became a comedy, which is wonderful because it really needed to be a comedy, and changed its name. Well, I worked on Kingdom of the Sun and transitioned over into the new project as it was being changed into a comedy as well. And however, then I was pulled off that project and went on to Treasure Planet. So to say that, again, I was independent at the time. And when I got on to Treasure Planet, the directors desired that I work really close with them. So they said, listen, come in to the studio. You know, be right here. Have your space right here. And I said, okay. I mean, again, it was for that project and for Lilo and Stitch. But I was still basically an independent contractor. And it was on, it was on the tail end of Treasure Planet, just before going to Emperor's New to Lilo and Stitch.